Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Whoa, fix this microphone here. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show right here on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, December the 3rd, 2024. I have three slightly better than average co-hosts with me today. Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good evening. I don't know if that's a compliment or insult, but we'll go with it.
Well, if you're going with evening right now, I think it's evening somewhere, though.
That's right. Somewhere.
Evening somewhere. Wesley Wildman with us, and Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
And Christopher Woodward.
Good afternoon. For anybody in that.
Chris Woodward.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll reintroduce you because your mic wasn't working right there.
Hello.
Chris Woodward. Yeah, good morning, Chris. How you doing, brother?
I'm well.
All right. So thanks for listening to American Family Radio. We got a lot to talk about today, which is, as I say, a good thing because it's a talk show. We got like an hour and a half here on the program. I wanted to make mention real quickly before we jump into the news. You've heard us talk about it, but we've got our 2025, I call them spiritual heritage tours. They're various, and we're already like booking people like crazy. So I don't know why that is exactly, maybe the election results or whatever, but, people are really wanting to get out there and travel, go with us in 2025. So I would just say this: in June and September, we will have our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. That's George Washington's Mount Vernon. That's one tour. And back-to-back with that is our Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown, American history tour, if you will. So if you want to go with us to Williamsburg and D.C. back-to-back, that's a week. It's a week of your time, but we'll take care of you from beginning to end, you know, but it's 7 days. Plan on 7 days if you want to see the whole thing. Williamsburg, Colonial, Jamestown, Washington, D.C., everything. So that's June and September. And then in October, we're going to Boston for the first time, and that tour's people are signing up every day to go with us to Boston, right, Wesley?
That's right. Yeah, we've already filled up the first bus going on bus number two.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got
Tim Barton.
Timothy Barton
from
Wall Builders will be going with us, as well as
Stephen
McDowell, the Providence Foundation. So we will have two bona fide historians the trip with us to Boston. So
what are we going to be bona fide in?
Finding good restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah, good restaurants, and make sure the bus runs on time.
That's right.
That's our job. Stephen McDowell and Timothy Barton will give all the history. So we're not going to Boston just to say, hey, look at that. Isn't that nice? Look at that building. We're going to learn about the people, places, times, and events that impacted the early American history experience, like we do in Williamsburg, except we're moving up the coast there to Boston. So we're going to Boston. We're going to eat good. It's in October, so there'll be some foliage to see, as Fred knows, being from that region of the world.
Mm-hmm.
In October is a prime time for seeing the leaves change color and so forth. So, here's the if you want information on any of those trips I just mentioned, simply go to this website, wildmangroup.com, WILDMON group.com. Wildman, WILDMON, group, GROUP.com. If you go to Wildman, with an A group, I don't know what kind of tour you're going to get there.
You're not going to find it.
Just probably not going to be family friendly.
That's right.
Okay, so we're not, so you be careful about what you type in there.
Speaking about wild man, I wonder, the other day we signed my son up for a local baseball facility to use during the winter months, and they put his name and my name down as wild man.
Yes.
And everything still works. All my access cards, all those things that I can still... So I'm wondering if I even, do I even say anything at this point?
It's up to you.
I mean, my card works when I go in.
Probably it doesn't matter.
Let it go.
I don't think, you could get them to change it probably, but that's what happened.
You got to deal with that.
What happened is your great grandmother changed it.
That's what it is. So we can her.
Yeah, I mentioned that before, but our name was Wildman. This is back in the 20s, 1920s. Oh, we're in the 20s now, except for 2024. That was 1920s, I think, and my grandmother said, I'm tired of the jokes, so we're going to change her name spelling. Mm-hmm. And so she just started writing it Wildmon, instead of M-A-N, and she didn't register with anybody. She didn't, no forms. She just started writing it different. And here we are today, 100 years later, with the change of our name. So I'm just wondering, are we really, we may not even be legal citizens.
I know.
We may be illegal immigrants.
It's a concern.
Here in our own country. Huh?
I know. Well, so, I started this, so that's my fault.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what's in the news right now?
I want to bring everybody's attention to something Fred posted on AFN.net just before the show, and details are still coming out on this, so do stick around with American Family Radio for more on this as it develops. But South Korea's president today declared martial law, vowing to eliminate what he calls anti-state forces as he struggles against an opposition that controls the country's parliament and which he accuses of sympathizing with communist North Korea. It has been decades since the people of South Korea saw anything in the way of martial law. And the military says the country's, this could all cause problems. People are not going to be able to enter parliament buildings, other political gatherings.
Excuse me for interrupting. I got breaking news on your breaking news.
Okay.
Chris.
He has the TV behind
him. What's it say there, crew?
Well, there's a contradiction between CNN and BBC at this time. The CNN is saying South Korean troops descend on parliament as opposition politicians vote to overturn martial law. And then BBC is saying South Korea parliament passes motion to lift martial law. So I don't sure. The president a few hours ago declared martial law, as Chris is saying from the Associated Press. The president believes the opposition members are sympathetic to North Korea. The only way martial law can end is if parliament votes to end it. So I'm not sure of the sequence of events. BBC is saying they did pass a motion to lift martial law. But the question is now, is the president and the military going to recognize that vote?
We've got one of our staff lives over there.
Yes.
In South Korea.
One of our
American boy married a South Korean girl, moved over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some personal interest in what's going on over there. What we're saying is this story's been developing the last hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
South Korea, which is a strong ally of the United States, it's a free republic. I've never been there, but basically they live like we live here.
Mm-hmm.
In the U.S. and Canada, but they've got a serious situation there. If the president of the is he called the president?
It's called the president.
Okay, if he's called for martial law, and now the parliament, is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the parliament supposedly, according to BBC, has passed basically a reversal of that. So that sounds like to me there's some great tension.
I'm getting caught up as we're going here. This is the first I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose? Why are they calling for martial law?
Because he is concerned there's communist sympathizers there that are fighting against his government and the party.
You know, the thing is the American military has a very strong presence there. That's one reason why we're interested in this, but also
because of North Korea.
Yeah. The last thing you want is great instability in South Korea.
Right, I know.
With the nut that you have running North Korea.
Right, right. That's true.
He could take advantage of this. So that's why we want to watch this very carefully.
Yeah. So this may, we may have more to report in the next hour or so, but yeah, you're right. North Korea right there with Kim Jong-un, and we've got South Korea is one of the most stable countries in the world, has been. Uh-huh. So this is concerning.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing here, the president that declared martial law over there again in South Korea, the president's party is known as the People Power Party, and he has declared martial law on the people.
I know that you know, you can't okay, I know there are people who are going to disagree with what I say, and that's okay. But you can't practically implement martial law in the United States.
No.
You can implement martial law on a maybe for a day or two in a particular city or a state, maybe a state, but the American people will not tolerate being told sit home and put your guns up for more than a few. You better have some kind of good reason for it, and like a natural disaster hits and you don't want looting and you don't want people out on the streets, you implement martial law maybe for a few hours or a day or two.
Go ahead.
So in South Korea, it's a much smaller landmass than the United States. I don't know what South Korea is, maybe the size of Florida or something.
I'll look.
So you may be able to implement that for a day or two, a couple of days, but even people in South Korea, they're not going to put up with being told sit home, stay home because of what exactly? So I don't know.
Potential riot.
Yeah.
It is the size of Indiana, according to
Indiana. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, you know what? You understand what I'm saying here, Fred?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This story is developing. It's the first time we've heard of this kind of unrest coming out of South Korea, but this is a very dramatic move for the president to call in the military to try to stop people from parliament going ahead. Now, his declaration, as we said, is that he believes amongst the opposition party that there are North Korean sympathizers. First, I've heard of that. I've not seen any stories of this. So hopefully this is going to end fairly quickly and without too much more violence.
Yeah. Oh, there has been violence?
Well, we've noticed some people.
Okay. There's some unrest.
How many people live in South Korea? I'm going to guess 50 million.
It's a lot.
I'm just going to guess 50 million, something like that, because Seoul is one of the largest. Huh?
I'm going to take you to, not that I would gamble, but if I did. 51.71 million.
I just guess. See there? Huh? You want to gamble?
It was an
educated
guess,
though. You want to gamble, you go with what I say.
When I'm on the Price is Right, finally, I'm taking Tim with me.
So 51 million. Seoul, the largest city there, is probably 20. I don't know, 15 to 20. That's a big place, but all right. So we will watch and see what happens there in South Korea. You know, a lot of us have said, not just me and our panel here, but people listening, a lot of people I've heard out there have said, you better be careful what happens between the election and the inauguration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yes. Because who's in charge? Nobody.
That's right. Yep.
Nobody's in charge. You go into it's like getting in a jet and walking up to the cockpit and there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's been nobody there since June that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
Since it was revealed to the world that President Biden, he wasn't all there.
Uh-huh. You know, the biggest news that's come from the White House is President Joe Biden pardoning his son.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right.
In the last 3-4 months.
It's on autopilot, whatever that means. So we've basically been without a president for 6 months. Now, some would say longer than that. That's just when we discovered we were without a president. But the Democrats said you're not going to run as our party's representative,
right?
Joe Biden, you're going to have to forget that idea, but because you're incapable.
Uh-huh.
Of doing it, but you're capable of staying on as the leader of the free world for 7 more months.
Mm-hmm.
How does that add up?
Yeah, that was lost in all the and all the media discussion about the new who's going to be the new president or right. who's going to run, that got lost and all that, that they were admitting something that is that he's incapable of running, but yet he's still in office.
And this Joe Biden pardoning his son Hunter Biden is an indication, and I've heard others say this, that Joe Biden has no respect for his own party right now, because many Democrats have come out and condemned him for pardoning his son for breaking numerous laws. And so there's, you've got, what people are saying is that Joe Biden is angry with his own party. So he doesn't care whether he embarrasses the Democratic Party right now. And he certainly doesn't care about Republicans either. So you've got the president of the United States who feels he's got nothing to lose with whatever decision he makes over the next 3.5-4 weeks. That's pretty scary.
With no accountability, really.
No.
I say no accountability. There are accountability checks for he can't do anything. But I'm just saying there's no political accountability for him because he's got nothing to lose.
Keep in mind, he said several times, and that's being conservative, several times he would not pardon Hunter. And then
also you got to be careful too about what Joe Biden has said and promised not to do or to do
with other things.
With other things, because all bets are off now. Now, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Chris. So we got the breaking story in South Korea. There's the president there has declared martial law. There's been reports by the BBC that the parliament is voting to not accept that. So there's some contention there. I don't know whether there's going to be, we don't know whether there's going to be violence or not in the streets.
Yeah, we're just looking at some pictures there right now. And we don't know where the people are with this, the population. Are they on the side of the party that controls the parliament right now?
Yeah.
Or are they with the president? So this is unfolding, folks, in real time.
Yeah. All right, back here at home in the U.S., there's still the fallout from Biden pardoning Hunter Biden, right?
Yes, this has been a huge topic for Fox News. But even people on CNN have been talking about it, including CNN contributor Scott Jennings. He had this to say about the pardon. Clip 4.
These people are liars. Inflation is transitory. Afghanistan, it's a success. The border is secure. Robert Hur is a liar. The videos are cheap fakes. Biden has a cold. He'll never drop out. Oh, I'll never pardon Hunter. Joe Biden, Karine Jean-Pierre. How many minutes of tape do we have of both of these people telling the American people this will not happen? We could play it all morning. It's a lie. This is the worst possible thing a president could possibly do to his party and to the country.
Why do you think, Fred, and Wesley, you can comment, why do you think, Fred, that Scott Jennings right there, the gentleman you just heard, he's a conservative on CNN.
Correct.
Commentator. Mm-hmm. But why do you think he said what he said there at the end, that this is the worst possible thing a president could do to his party, Fred?
Well, it sets a precedent for other presidents down the line to do basically pardon anybody at all, because you got to remember the history right now is that, you know, Hunter Biden has pled guilty to many of these charges. He was going to be sentenced on the tax evasion one within a couple of weeks. So he's guilty of the crimes. So you have that. So a president playing favorites with his family members. That's not supposed to happen. But also, I think what's going on here, and people haven't raised this question too much yet, is Joe Biden also hoping that through this, the investigations will stop into his involvement with Hunter Biden's finances.
Yep.
Because remember what we've been reporting, and others have been reporting over the last 2 years, that Hunter Biden was handing money to his dad. I mean, that's the allegation. We're talking millions of dollars. Remember that phone call with China, with Hunter Biden talking, and he says, I have my dad right here. sitting beside me. Joe Biden, of course, told us not involved with my son's business dealings. Of course he was.
Yeah.
When he was vice president, this is why it goes back so far, this pardon. When he was vice president, what he did when his son was sitting on the board of Burisma, that Ukrainian energy company, making, what was it, $80,000 a month or whatever it was?
It was a lot.
Joe Biden goes there and he tells the Ukrainian government, you've got to pardon the attorney general there of your country who's investigating Burisma while his son was sitting on the board.
Fire him, not pardon him.
Yeah, fire him.
Yeah.
And
he was interfering. Joe Biden, the MVP, was interfering in internal Ukrainian politics in order to benefit his son financially.
And he threatened Ukraine, saying, we're not going to give you any more money, United States.
Right.
And he bragged.
Right.
Joe Biden said, within hours, I got that attorney general fired.
And another reason the Democrats are criticizing a lot of them, especially the media, is criticizing Joe Biden for this decision to pardon his own son. Another reason is the obvious for us as conservatives is we're going, well, if that's the case, when Donald Trump gets in there, then what's wrong with him? Where's going to be their leverage when he goes to pardon the J6ers or others? But that's the obvious one. And so they're losing a lot of credibility there with President Trump when he is inaugurated.
Yeah, I think, all the things you guys have said are true. What this really means, though, is the reason there's a lot of people upset on the left and the right on this one is that this was all a charade. Okay. Biden tried to play like he was above it all. I will not pardon my son if he gets convicted of federal tax evasion or this the lying on the gun form. When he was had drug problems, we know that. So I'll let the courts decide, and I will abide by their decision, and I will not pardon him. I won't get involved. Over and over and over. He did that. Biden did that. The inference was, see what I'm doing. I'm a law and order guy, while former President Trump over here is rogue. He's a lawless person. He's a threat to democracy. You see how they tried to draw that contrast, politically speaking.
That's right.
And so now that Biden has lost by virtue of him stepping down and Harris has lost, the Democrats have lost the White House, it doesn't matter anymore. And this is why I use the word charade. Now you can just do what you were going to do all along, which is pardon your son for the crimes, so he doesn't have to serve any prison time. You do lose, as you're saying, Wesley, you do lose some, quote, moral authority. The Democrats do. I know people are laughing, but like they ever had any. But I'm just saying, now they can't say that Biden is a law and order guy, the Democrats are law and order, because, see, he didn't even pardon his own son. Now that's off the table, so the Republicans can do things, and
all his crimes, as Fred mentioned, many of them he confessed to.
Oh yeah, he confessed to. That's why he got the deal that he got.
Right. So these are not accusations anymore.
No,
these are admitted.
No, he crimes. Confessed to it. And as I said yesterday, if I were Joe Biden. When this was being asked of me a year ago or so, whenever, I would have said, listen, I don't know what I'll do. When the time comes, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
I may pardon him. I may not. I don't know. I don't know what the circumstances will be. But no, he didn't do that. He said,
absolutely,
absolutely, I won't pardon him. And he said it over and over and over again. And Corinne Jean-Pierre.
We have audio.
Of her. We're going to play those.
We can do that.
The golden oldies.
Oh, well, we've got some current stuff about the pardon.
Okay. Anyway, Corinne Jean-Pierre, bless her heart. She has to go out there and repeat Biden's whoppers.
Yeah. Yep.
But she does so.
She does a good job of
it. She does so with a smile on her face.
That's right.
Hey, I'm getting a paycheck. I'll go tell lies if you want me to. Who do you want me to tell? Where do I go tell whoppers to today?
Where can I practice?
Right. We'll be back momentarily.
In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with the resources they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a Preborn Network clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. All right, so it's Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Chris today on the program. And we thank you, again, we thank you for listening. We mentioned this at the top of the hour. Marshall, the president of South Korea, a few hours ago issued a martial law for that country of 50-plus million people. And now, according to the BBC, that's the British Broadcasting Company, the South Korean Parliament has voted to lift that martial law. So you have and the reason declared by the president was what, Fred?
The reason declared by the president was that he said there were elements in the party that controls the parliament, elements of sympathizers to North Korea. So he felt he declared they were a danger to the country.
But it must have been something imminent, because you can't, it doesn't seem to me, you couldn't declare martial law just for, hey, we're going to have to, give us a few months, we'll get back to you, we're going to have to investigate this.
Right.
So I don't know.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens now, is that, okay, so the South Korean parliament votes to lift martial law. So who is the military going to be loyal to? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be loyal to the president, or are they going to be loyal to the parliamentary vote?
Okay, well, when I understand, the parliament has a right to overrule the president.
Constitutionally,
and if they did, then they would have to abide by the law.
So, well, I would hope the military would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so back to what's happening here at home. Of course, we are a few weeks away yet from the transfer of power. Hopefully and prayerfully, the peaceful transfer of power from Joe Biden to Donald Trump.
Yes. He did say there would be a peaceful transition, but again, Joe Biden said he would not pardon Hunter. So.
But just duly noted, Chris. So we got to play. Is this Karine Jean-Pierre?
It is. Outgoing White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
I'm going to miss her. Aren't you guys?
Yeah, I guess so.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So.
I wish her well.
Yeah. So go ahead. What do we got? What do we got from Karine?
Yeah. So here? You know, as we were talking about during the break, pretty much she comes out there and says whatever the White House wants her to say, including the fact that the president has always been honest and truthful with people about issues, including the pardon of Hunter Biden. Here, don't take my word for it. Clip 6.
You have said repeatedly yourself since the election. The president has said for months, no pardon was coming. I wanted to ask you, could those statements now be seen as lies from the American people? Is there really a credibility issue here given now this announcement?
First of all, one of the things that the president always believes is to be truthful to the American people. That is something that he always truly believes. And if you see the end of his, I assume that you've read his statement, and you look at the end of that statement, and he actually says that in the first line in the last paragraph, and respects the thinking and how the American people will actually see this.
I don't even know what she said there.
She's talking about the statement at the as to why he
First of all, I would not. Somebody needs to get with her. And listen, that first thing she said. Let's go back and listen to that. The first thing she says is absolutely hysterical.
It's going to begin with the question.
She's asking about shouldn't this be perceived as lies, and then she says what? Go ahead.
You have said repeatedly yourself since the election. The president has said for months, no pardon was coming. I wanted to ask you, could those statements now be seen as lies from the American people? Is there really a credibility issue here given now this announcement?
First of all, one of the things that the president always believes is to be truthful to the American people.
Okay,
the part. He says one thing the president always believes is to be truthful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The guy just set her up and said, basically he said, he lied to our face and so did you. What do you got to say about it? She goes, well, we just believe in being truthful. Huh? Yes. It's like right over the top of her head.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, the Bible talks about a conscience being seared, mm-hmm. which means you don't even know that you're a bold-faced liar anymore.
I know.
You just,
I know.
They do it so often.
I wish they could give truth serum to somebody like her, though, and she could come out there and say, I know. He lied to me too.
You should have heard what
unbelievable.
We talked about.
Huh?
You know, it's really interesting that this was Karine Jean-Pierre aboard Air Force One, mm-hmm. When the president he pardons his son Hunter and then takes off for a trip to Africa somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
is that where he's going?
Yeah. So she was making these comments aboard Air Force One.
Correct.
Yeah.
And she goes on to say in her comments, "Well, you know." The president still believes in the integrity of the Justice Department, and then she says, but.
Right, I know.
Now he believes it was politically motivated. Well, you can't have the two.
I know.
You're trying to say, yes, I believe it. The Justice Department has great integrity. But then you say, but this, the charges against my son were politically motivated.
Yeah.
You know, for the longest, for the last several years, we would cover stories like this, and she and her party and her administration would do things like this, and we would report it the same way. But it almost seemed like for many years, it was just us that kind of saw behind the curtains here, or kind of read between the lines. But as the election has proven, there are a lot more people. And they have been discredited more and more to the point where I'm starting to feel a little bit of satisfaction here that they are not able to get past the American people what they were able to get past for many, many years, which is the obvious lying.
Yeah. Well, like I say, lying was a tool to be used.
Sure.
Remember things like the Inflation Reduction Act?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which even they admitted later, it had nothing to do with inflation.
Yeah, no.
It had to do with spending. They told us the border was secure.
Yeah,
they lied.
And Biden was
healthy, good to go, healthy doors.
Said Biden was on top of his game.
Most energetic man in the room.
That was 6 months ago.
Yeah,
or 8 months ago. To Biden was on top of his game, sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
Then we go out to we have a live debate, and he's looking off into space. Yeah. We're like, huh?
Hey, but they beat Medicare.
Yeah. Anyway, right. Listen, this is again, I think Biden, fallout from this for Biden doesn't care. I mean, there's nothing you can do. He has the ultimate authority here to do what he did. And he'll pardon some more people, as all presidents do when they leave office. But it's just the fact that he tried to play, the law and order. I don't like this expression necessarily, but holier than thou. Mm-hmm. Against Trump, you know, I'm the law and order guy. I will respect the law. Even if my son gets convicted, I will not interfere. Remember that?
No one is above the law.
And here he is saying, didn't really mean that.
Yeah.
I'm going to interfere. I'm going to pardon my son. Let's move on to the next story. Chris, what do you got?
Let's do this. A congressional subcommittee issued some findings yesterday.
Did they?
Which were not.
Did a congressional subcommittee issue a finding yesterday?
Chris? They sure did, Tim.
And you dug it up.
Yes. Okay. Well, they issued,
you dig up?
They issued findings that pretty much were no surprise to most Americans at this point, 5 years almost removed from COVID-19. But a congressional subcommittee is closing out its near 2-year investigation of the coronavirus pandemic. And among its findings, the virus did originate in a Chinese lab in Wuhan, China. It was not natural, and that the mask mandates from Fauci and others, as well as lockdowns, did more harm than good, including children losing years of learning. I have some audio here.
Told you so.
Right. Yeah, I saw this and was like, I mean, people said this back in 2022. But nonetheless, I do have some audio.
Who are we going to hear from?
This is John Elliott. He is a former Trump National Security aide. Clip 12.
You're going to see a lot more oversight of this because Americans are really tired. I mean, we lost, to your point about the children. Look, also old people who are in old folks' homes, et cetera, they would not even be seen by their relatives as they passed away under this lockdown. And so nobody wants to see this happen again. And this is why there's going to be real accountability. Once again, this ties a bow on it. And this is a way that Congress can now say, look, we want to make sure that this never, ever happens again. And we have this bogus science at the top and all this masking mandates that really hurt the American people.
It'll be interesting to see whether Dr./Senator Rand Paul will continue on his crusade to prove he was true, or he was accurate in his
findings.
Denouncing of Anthony Fauci.
He's going to have a lot of support now, that's for sure. I mean, the people that Trump is nominating for these positions are people who were skeptical all the way along, are people who were shut down. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. when he talks about vaccines and the dangers of them.
Right.
So it's amazing what has happened. We've gone 180 degrees to what we experienced over the last 4 years mm-hmm. of being told you have to shut yourself down. You can't go visit people. Shut down your schools. Now we're going to have people in charge who are not going to allow this kind of nonsense to happen again.
Yeah. For people that have not paid as much attention to Trump appointments in recent days, one of the big ones right before Thanksgiving was the nomination of Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, mm-hmm. who head up the National Institutes of Health. That was a position once held by Dr. Francis Chan.
Yes.
Francis Collins.
Oh, he was a preacher.
Yeah. I get my Franks mixed up. But anyway, Dr. Bhattacharya is well known. He was one of the co-founders of the Great Barrington Declaration, which early on in the days and weeks leading out of the COVID outbreak said, hey, lockdowns are a terrible idea. He got ridiculed for it, but he was proven right, and now Trump wants him to head up NIH.
Yep.
Interesting stuff there.
All right, next story.
All right. Meanwhile, the incoming Trump administration is still telling state governors and Democratic mayors, we are going to deport illegal immigrants. These people came here illegally. They're draining resources. Some of them are being arrested for crimes. Some of them are being convicted of crimes. We have to do something about this to protect American people. One of the things that people want Trump to do is go after Mexican cartels. And I can say that based on the guy Trump wants to be border czar, Tom Homan. It says Trump himself should go after Mexican cartels. Clip 13.
President Trump has said that he's going to declare these criminal cartels terrorist organizations, which he should. The criminal cartels in Mexico have killed more Americans than every terrorist organization in the world combined. And that's why President Trump will designate them terrorist organization and wipe them off the face of the earth.
I'm curious to see what the response might be from the international world if we were to send some sort of law enforcement or military into another country to wipe out people inside that country that are causing harm to a whole bunch of people.
Well, that's the question that I have. You just heard Tom Homan declare these cartels terrorist organizations. Does this then give license to the president to send military squads into Mexico, and to take out these cartels? That's what it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a toughie right here. In the sense that, do you want? I know some people think it's toughie. Why is it tough? Do you really want United States military operating inside Mexico?
That depends on what it's for.
Now, I will say, you already have federal agencies that are armed to do battle with these. I would think the Drug Enforcement Agency has armed agents that can go get into, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know if you want the Marines, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I appreciate AFN bringing in the Tom Holman clip because what I requested last week was I need one clip from Tom Holman because he's my dude.
Well, I had to make up after saying the wrong Francis in NIH.
I want to hear that again. Now, he's going to be Trump's what?
Border czar.
Border czar.
Border czar. And I want to hear what he has to say again. I want to hear this again.
President Trump has said that he's going to declare these criminal cartels terrorist organizations, which he should. The criminal cartels in Mexico have killed more Americans than every terrorist organization in the world combined. And that's why President Trump will designate them a terrorist organization and wipe them off the face of the earth.
Yeah, well,
I think we all heard it.
If you're connected with bringing drugs over the border, then I do believe you should find somebody, should find out where that drugs are coming from and shut it down.
Well, yeah. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, back during the
campaign,
when he was running for president, the GOP, he said that he would send special forces after the cartels in Mexico. Now, is that military forces? That sounds like it to me. I mean, special forces, I think of Navy SEALs, you think of Green Berets, those types.
Well, I think the significance is the designating these people as terrorists. Because
the drug cartels.
Yes, because obviously we have precedents of going after terrorists in various parts of the world in the wake of, you know, the attack on this country, 9/11.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how mixed feelings.
That may be a question for a constitutional lawyer.
Yeah. Well, we just happen to have one. Excuse me.
And it's not you, and it's not me.
No, it's not me. It's not me. A lot of people confuse me as a constitutional lawyer. But
no, I've never done that, though.
You've never? No, but you haven't, but others do when I go out to eat lunch. And
sure, it happens.
And there's a constitutional lawyer ordering a fajita right over there. So Jenna Ellis joins us. Janet from Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard on American Family Radio each weekday, 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time. Jenna is a constitutional attorney. That is, she's written a book on it and teaches on it. And so she's well-versed in the United States constitutional law. Jenna, good morning.
Good morning. Great to join you guys. And, you know, I don't often get confused for, you know, a boomer when I go out. So,
I noticed how you hesitated about saying that. Because
I did.
Yeah,
I
you did.
Did
because am I gonna insult my boss?
I went for it.
Yeah,
but
you did go for it.
I remember Jenna's last day.
Let me tell you. Yeah. Lot to be said for the boomers. There's a lot to be said. Without the boomers, you wouldn't even be here.
That is very true.
Talk to your parents, Jenna.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm thankful for the boomers and,
Same.
Yeah.
Because they make you feel young, right,
generation.
Jenna?
That's so true. Wasn't going to say
that. At least I'm a young boomer.
Absolutely.
I'm on the tail end of the boomers. I was born in
60. See, I'm an old millennial.
A country song.
I look like I'm old enough to be Brent's
like
dad.
That old country song. Remember that country song, Old Hippies? I'm an old hippie. Jenna's an old millennial. All right, Jenna, we played Tom Holman. I don't know if you heard that. The border czar for Trump coming up soon. Talking about, the border czar is informal. What's his formal title? What will his formal title be?
Well, that is his title. He isn't head
Well, who's Homeland Security then?
Christy Noem.
So, Jenna, do you know does the border czar work under the direction of the Homeland Security? It does, doesn't it?
Well, what reports are saying is that Tom Holman will work directly for President Trump. I mean, he'll be part of Homeland Security and have that kind of authority, but he'll report directly to Donald Trump, which is kind of anyway how Trump, at least in his first administration and on the campaigns, like when I worked for him. I mean, that was kind of how he wanted it with all of the, top advisors anyway.
Even if they weren't cabinet level.
Right.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Can a president send special forces? Governor DeSantis talked about this when he was running. That's what Holman was talking about right there. He was talking about Trump will declare them terrorist organizations, that is the Mexican drug cartels, which run a lot of the illegal immigration over the border in Mexico into the United States. Can you declare them a terrorist organization? Who can do that? Do you know? And if so, what does that mean in terms of using the United States military?
In terms of declaring, I'm not sure I understand the question. In terms of declaring...
Do you know if Trump, when he's president, coming up, can he say, I hereby declare that these Mexican drug cartels are the same as ISIS. They're a terrorist organization. Therefore, we can use the United States military against them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, so the president and...
Does he have unilateral authority to do that, or does that have to be passed by Congress, or have we even ever faced this question before? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is actually under the Anti-Terrorism Act of, I think it was back in the 90s, and the Secretary of State actually, under the executive branch, has the authority to designate a group as a foreign terrorist organization. And so there is certain criteria. I mean, obviously, the organization has to be foreign. It has to engage in what qualifies as a terrorist activity. But there is a process, and the designation is published by the Department of State, and then Congress is notified. So so that does have consequences in terms of that type of designation. So it's really more of the declaration of war that constitutionally has to go through Congress.
Okay, so I'm going to just make a prediction here, which my predictions are 50-50. I'll just tell you right. Don't go to the casino with me.
Unless you're guessing the population of South Carolina.
Right.
Yeah,
spot
on. Some things are better at that than others. Yeah. But political prognostications, I'm batting about 500, which 500 in baseball is pretty good. But
it is.
500 on a test is only 50%. You get an F.
Yeah.
So I'll just say this.
Unless there's 500 questions, and then you get them all right.
Well, duly noted. So, that's right. I would just say this, and I think most Americans, the reality of this is here. We're not going to have mass deportations, okay? I don't care what President Trump says. I don't care what Tom Holman says. Is that his name, Tom?
Mm-hmm. I don't think Tom Holman's even said that, though.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think he's more targeted to, when I've heard him speak most recently, his biggest effort is getting deporting those that have a criminal record.
Yeah.
I think they're going to focus on, the violent criminals. But Trump has certainly talked about
mass deportation. He said, Trump, bless his heart, he just talks out
part of the deal.
He'll just say anything, too. I mean,
and Mexico will pay for it. Right.
And he doesn't mean half the things he says. Okay,
there's a strategy to art of the deal.
Yeah, I'm just saying you can't always believe what Trump says. Okay, I'm just going to say that. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm not saying I didn't vote for him. I'm just saying he has a lot of hyperbole in his statements.
A whole
too.
Lot. Yeah.
So there's not going to be mass deportations. You can forget that. Plus, the American people, probably the five of us included. If we saw a bunch of ICE officials going in and raiding apartment building after apartment building after apartment building, taking out women and children and throwing them in vans with handcuffs on, we would say, stop that. That's appalling.
Bill Clinton got ridiculed.
That is unacceptable, and we don't want you to do that. So I don't think the American people, conservatives, liberal, whatever, have the stomach for what I've just described. Now, violent criminals? Yes, but as I've said before, this is Tim talking here, a young baby boomer. I don't think sending violent criminals away from their punishment here in the U.S. is a good idea. You commit a crime on U.S. soil. I don't want the guy in Georgia that murdered that young lady in Athens, Georgia. I don't want him being deported to his home country where he'll probably be let free. I want him punished here in the United States and going to prison, because this is where he committed the crime, Wesley. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, well, then what do you do with the ones that are let out, like the ones in New York? So,
what do you mean?
They committed a crime. They get they get put in jail overnight, and then they get let out on bail.
Well, and you can deport them.
That's what I'm.
Deport them if you want to. Yeah. Of course, they're going to go to Mexico and come right back over again, unless Trump's in charge. I do think Trump will crack down on that and keep that repetitive, repeat offenders.
There are taxpayer dollars though that are paying towards these criminals to be in prison too.
That's true.
And so there is a maybe
the threshold should be violent. In other words, if you commit a violent crime here in the United States, you stay in the United States for your punishment.
And then you get deported.
Yeah.
That's a compromise for sure. But also, too, on this list, you have those that have committed violent crimes who have served their time, and then they've been let out.
Then you deport them.
Yeah.
You deport them. You take them from the prison.
Start there.
Straight to the airplane.
There's plenty to do there.
Straight back home. This is going to be a big challenge for the new administration, don't you think, Jenna? This whole issue.
Yeah, I think it'll be a big challenge, and I think this is why all of this discussion is why the policy around this is a discussion piece. But I mean, I just covered this morning on my show how the city of New York is paying $220 million to rent the entire Roosevelt Hotel in downtown Manhattan. I mean, I've stayed there before prior to its closure in 2020. It's right in downtown Manhattan, and the city of New York is paying that to house illegal migrants. And the hotel is owned by the government of Pakistan. I mean, this is just utter nonsense. And so when you're talking about something like this, my thought on that is, well, look, here's an entire hotel full of known illegal migrants. You already got them rounded up. Just haul them out,
Yeah, but I wouldn't save New York. I would let New York wallow in that. Huh? Because they voted Democrat all day, every day. And Democrats are the ones who welcome millions and millions of people here illegally. So,
as of yesterday, there's 53,000 reported illegal immigrants in New York City. No, there's more than that. Those that have committed, that have a criminal record. That's just 53,000 that have a criminal record that are illegal.
Well,
in New York City.
But think about our taxpayer money paying to fly the guy who murdered Lake and Riley from New York to Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, that was her parents were part of the taxpayers that paid for that. And that is appalling.
We got to take a break. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Get him out before.
Yeah.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.